The bulletin this morning, so I've got two beautiful young ladies who are going to pass these things out today. So one will take one side and the other take the other side, and everybody gets one. All right. We're going to be talking about cultivating a spirit-filled life here. You know, last week we talked about how we'd have the power to do everything God calls us to do by our position, right? Positionally, we are in Christ. Positionally, it says in Ephesians that we're seated in the heavenly places on high, and so that means we've got all the power that we need. But you see, the power comes through the one who lives in us. Amen? So the position alone isn't going to be enough. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. So there's going to be like some things that we need to do to make sure that we're in a position where we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? God doesn't... Have you ever noticed God don't just drag people around zapping them? You know? He don't drag you and wrestle you down to the ground and make you take it. All right? Now, one thing I want you to understand, being filled with the Holy Spirit is somewhat different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, God sends the Holy Spirit to be in, okay? So like everybody's got the Holy Spirit living in them if they are a Christian. But I think that there's a continual filling that we need to seek. And something about that word filled, we need to understand about it. It's a broader word than just to like fill a glass of water. Which is a good symbol. We want to be filled. We can't give what we don't have. Okay? But it also means to be controlled by. To be controlled by. Okay? Can we all say that? To be controlled by. All right. To be controlled by means that it's going to be God who's doing things through me. Okay? And I think this is what scares people just a little bit, because most of us spend our entire life trying to control everything ourselves. Do I get an amen to that? All right, from the time we're a child, I mean, what was it that you didn't really like that much about living in your father and mother's home as a child is that you had to do what they said, right? Or was I the only one like that? Did you guys get tired of doing what your parents said? And as you grew increasingly older, you got more tired of it, right? Whenever you were smaller, you know, you said, well, yeah, they probably know better than me, maybe. I don't know. By the time you got to be about 16 years old, most of the time we're thinking, hey, I got this. I don't need your advice no more, right? I couldn't believe that people didn't trust my judgment whenever I was 16. I just couldn't figure that out because I felt just as big and smart and wise as everybody else. But in reality, looking back, wow, did I ever still have a lot to learn. But it's kind of a natural thing in us that we want to kind of break free of our parents' say-so over our lives or whatever the authority may be. Why does the world hate authority figures so much? Because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we don't want nobody telling us anything. And so I think this might make Christian people a little bit fearful about the idea of being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. Because ultimately, we're scared to death that God's going to ask us to do something we don't want to do. Do I get an amen? This was my thought. I thought, well, if I give my life to Jesus, I don't like hot, humid places. He's going to send me to Africa, and I'd watched enough Tarzan movies to know it looked hot and humid there, okay? Tarzan was always sweating, right? Do I get an amen? That did not sound inviting to me at all, okay? I would rather you send me to Alaska, but that part just really didn't get it for me. Okay, here's the deal, guys. I've learned, after I went ahead and just surrendered everything, said, okay, God, I'll put it on the altar. I don't know what you're going to do with it because a lot of it's messed up anyways, but I'm giving it to you. He began to change my wants. Okay? That's just it. You see, it says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Okay? So I thought, well, then that means God's got to give me what I want. But no, what really happened is as I delighted myself in the Lord, He changed my wants. And now He can give me my wants. Because my desires have changed, and the greatest desire I have is to see our community come to know the Lord. Amen? To see others know the joy and the freedom that I have in my heart. To know the rest that God has given me. Even though I'm still working, I'm still doing plenty. I have this joy in Jesus that's so much better than the things that I used to chase after. Do I get an amen to that? Do you want other people to know that? then that's kind of the desire that he begins to give us, okay? So it's an important part of this all. And so, like, let's say we've given our heart to Jesus. We want to be able to do the things he's called us to do. We need some adjustments made in our life, okay? And that's going to be the rest of our life. It's called sanctification, okay? After salvation comes sanctification, and it's being set apart for God. And eventually we'll reach glorification, and that's whenever we're finally perfected in heaven, right? But until that time comes, we get little tastes of the glory, and we need to be continually filled by the Spirit. So I ask the question, how now shall I live? Okay, I've come to Jesus, I've given my heart to him. How should I live now? Okay? That's kind of the question that we're going to spin off of. And so I think first, number one, we got to decide we want it. I got to decide I really want to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now the indwelling of the Spirit, again, it's an automatic thing. If you're a true believer in Jesus, he's going to send it. But he's going to send him to live in us. But for us to be really filled, I think we got to decide and ask God for it. Amen? So the first part of it is to really decide that I really want to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, it kind of comes off of this one situation that Jesus found himself in. Y'all remember, Jesus did a lot of healing while he walked on the earth. Y'all remember a lot of that. He was showing he was God. But he came upon this one guy who was laying by this pool, who had been paralyzed, okay? And this pool of Siloam, and supposedly this was a healing pool, okay? Whenever he comes along there in John chapter 5, Jesus saw him lying there. He knew he already had been in that condition a long time. And he, Jesus, said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Didn't that seem like a strange question? In fact, the guy kind of responded like, "Man, that's a strange question," you know, because he says, "Well, hey, I'm laying here. I've been laying here all the time, but there's nobody to help me in the pool when the water gets stirred." Because they really believed that angels would come and stir the water, and whenever the waters got ripply and stirred, then whoever went in there first got healed, but nobody else did. So he was bumming because he'd been laying there all that time, and he thought he was just missing out. But you see, Jesus asked the real question. That didn't necessarily prove that he really wanted to be made well. Sometimes positionally we put ourselves like in a church. And like I come to church and I sit in a pew and I can wear the right clothes and I can even carry the right Bible and I can even put it in a case and I can do all these things to look just like everybody else. But whenever I come here, I need to be asked the question, do I really want to be made well? Because you see, you can hear the same message that everybody else is hearing, and we can broadcast it over the radio and the TV waves, and we can catch millions of people, but unless you really want to change, it's just going to be words. But for the one who wants to be made well, who wants to be filled with the Spirit of God, we've got to make a decision that we really want that, and we're willing to do what God says. Because you see, I don't think God's really obliged to keep pouring water on a rock expecting something to grow off of it. You see, because, like, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I don't sow my seeds in my garden on top of big flat rocks. If there's a big flat rock, I get rid of it and replace that with soil. And I cultivate that soil, and that's where I plant my seed and I water it. If we're just a rock, nothing's going to grow on us. We really need to decide that we want the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got a warning for you. This comes with a disclaimer warning, okay? Jesus changes everything. But here's the blessing. He changes everything for the better. Amen? So like, what I figured out is, right now, at this point in my life, with my walk with Jesus, if Jesus wanted me to go to the hottest part of Africa and there were hungry people there who would hear the gospel and be saved, I would go gladly. So who changed? It wasn't God that changed. It was my heart that changed because of yielding it to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. So you guys got to hold me to this, okay? If you hear me say I'm called to Africa, don't let me try to weasel out of this just because it's going to be hot. Because, you know, all I know is I want to be where God has people that will listen. I want to go where people want to hear the gospel. If that's my neighbor, that's where I want to go. I prayed this prayer one time. I'll preach to anybody that'll listen. But you know, there's just certain times whenever the soil's been cultivated and man, it springs up. It's awesome. And I had just come back from a revival where I'd seen a great movement of God. And I prayed this prayer and I said, Lord, I want to go wherever people are hungry. And the phone rang as soon as I got done praying. And I thought, whoa, man, that was a quick answer to prayer. So I answered it. And it was a guy inviting me to come do prison ministry. Isn't that cool? I wonder if Steve might be able to relate to that. Steve's able to do some prison ministry. And no, it wasn't. It was another gentleman. And unfortunately, that deal wound up falling through for me at that time. But I'll tell you, I went and I explored it. And I joined one of their services over in Bon Terre. And I found out it was much different than what I expected. There's real believers in that prison. Did y'all know that? Yeah, they're like us, and they made some mistakes. And maybe some of their mistakes got them caught, and maybe some of them are being punished for stuff, and their consequences on earth have to be fulfilled. But I'll tell you what, I found real believers in that prison. I truly, the spirit that lives in me connected with the spirit that lived in them, and the prayer requests that they had were very real, and it really touched my heart. And I can see that in the future, someday, God is going to have me back to that calling. I just don't know when. I want to be a part of it. Steve actually invited me to go with him whenever we get closer to Christmas. And I fully intend on doing that. I am looking forward to that. Because, you know, there's people there that want to be made well. Amen? They're asking for help. And so I think that we're definitely obliged. The question that I have for us today is, do you want it? Do you want the Holy Spirit this morning? Because I think we come together and the majority of us want it, God's going to move in a powerful way. Amen? Lord, please help us to want you more than anything else. Lord, speak to us today. For everybody who wants it in this place, fill us with the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Number two thing is what I just did. We got to ask. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Okay, I got a bunch of dads in the house here. How many of you, whenever your son or your daughter would ask you for something, especially think of a little one, okay? Oh, daddy, could I have a piece of bread? Would you give them a stone just as a dirty trick? Here, bite on this, son. Hopefully there's no accusations in the room. No, chances are most of us would really want to give them something that would be very satisfying, okay? It would satisfy their need, it would be a blessing to them. Or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Which to a Jew, this would have really had a lot of meaning because a serpent was a very unclean food. Fish was okay, serpent was detestable, an abomination, okay? Or if he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Boy, that would be a dirty trick too, wouldn't it? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give? Listen to this now. Okay, we're thinking good gifts, right? He gets specific here in Luke. Okay, are we all listening? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's back up. Let's read that last part together. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Guys, to me, this sounds like an absolute promise. Amen? First, when we come to salvation, and I think even over and over again, to fill us for what he's called us to do. I can tell you, everything God's called you to do, you can't do any of it in your own strength, okay? Jesus already said that. He said, unless you stay connected to divine, unless you stay abiding in him, you can do nothing, okay? Not one good thing. So we need him, and so therefore we need to ask for more of him in a continual basis, okay? I think, so we got to decide we want it, we got to ask. And then, the third one is, this is where we start getting shaky sometimes. we must take the steps of obedience. Can I get an amen to that? Steps of obedience. When God says, go, it's one thing to sit there and say, oh yeah, okay, I'll do that tomorrow. Maybe the next day. Maybe next year. But we never really get up and go. Have we really obeyed? Jesus kind of gave us a little test on that when he said, Father said, go out to the field and work. And the one son said, yes, I will go, but he didn't go. The other one said, no, but later on he reconsidered and he went. And then he asked the question, which one obeyed his father? So you tell me, which one obeyed his father? The one who had second thoughts and went ahead and did it, right? We know that. We've all dealt with children and whatnot, you know, our husbands and wives. Some of our wives tell us to go and do things, and we'll say okay, but then we don't do it, do we really? So no, there comes a time, you know, like, we've just got to decide, I'm going to do this, okay? And it really does matter. If we look, actually that first guy got healed in the pool of Bethesda. This one gets healed in the pool of Siloam. Okay, sorry I got that one wrong, but let's look at John chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. When he had said these things, okay, he was getting ready to heal a blind man. And he said a few things, and he spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Okay, some people say, man, that sounds kind of gross, because this involves saliva. But I want you to remember, how did he make the first man, Adam, in the garden? He made him from the dust of the ground, right? And so he's just reusing the same stuff he made him with in the first place to heal him. And so I think this is just awesome the way that he shows us this. But anyway, he makes this clay, and it has his precious saliva in it, okay, so to speak. It had something precious about Jesus added to this clay, which made it healing. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Okay, that's what Jesus said to him. Now we read the rest of it. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, something I want you to notice about that is he wasn't seeing until he went and washed. It doesn't say, so he went seeing and washed and came back seeing. No, that isn't what it says. It says, so he went and he did what he was told to do. He washed. He believed. And because of his belief, he showed his belief by actually obeying. And then he came back seeing. Can I get a praise the Lord to that one? Praise the Lord. And do you know, of all the people that Jesus healed, he never healed two the same. That's really cool too. So your experience with Jesus in some ways will be kind of personalized, okay? And he's not calling you and telling you the exact same thing that he may be telling me. Now it'll all be scriptural. It better be. Otherwise you're not hearing the right voice. It'll be scriptural, but guys, the thing of it is, you don't need to look like somebody else in Christianity. You need to look like Jesus. And you need to just allow yourself to be in this close personal relationship with him and listen to him and then do what he says. Not every blind man had to go wash the mud off of their eyes to see. Others saw in different fashions, in different ways. But guys, we got to first want it. We got to ask for it. And then we got to take the steps of obedience. God called me to leave my church and come here and pastor. Would I be able to see the promises of God in my life that I've seen for the last 9 years if I would have stayed where I was at? No, absolutely not. In fact, I think I'd probably be severely disciplined for disobeying because I tried that. It don't work well. You think God ever has to discipline his children? Any of us even? At times when we're disobedient? Absolutely, because God's a faithful God. He is good to us. Please, whatever steps of obedience he's asking you to take, well, let's just say commanding us to take. He's got the right to command, okay? He's God. Let's take those steps today. Number four. Okay, so we got into what we must do. We must ask, or we must decide, we must ask, we must take steps of obedience, and now something we must not do. We must not grieve the Spirit. Once the Spirit has come to us, once we've asked for the Spirit, we've prayed for the Spirit, we've decided we need the Spirit, we've taken the steps of obedience, now we're filled with the Spirit, we better not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This says something about the personhood of God. about the Holy Spirit. Not just an it, it's a him. He is a him, and the reason why we know he's a him is because he can be grieved. Can't grieve an it, but you can grieve a him. The person of the Holy Spirit comes to you by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's look at what Paul is saying might be grieving to the Holy Spirit. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit who inspired him to write this. So this is like straight from God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:30-32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Guys, if we're running around bitterness, it's grieving the Spirit. If we grieve the Spirit, He's not going to live in us abundantly. Okay? If we're showing acts of wrath and anger, going to grieve the Spirit. Spirits, have you ever seen anybody running around all mad and punching holes in the wall and throwing stuff who's really exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? No, I mean, that's the acts of the sinful nature, right? That's the acts of the flesh. So like, we could all make that mistake. And so what do we do when we do? We need to repent. Ask God to forgive us. Get back on the acts of obedience so that then He can fill us again and live through us. We want to be like a pipeline who lets the Holy Spirit live through us. When we're grieving the Spirit, we got all this junk in our pipe. Have you guys ever cleaned out a kitchen drain before? What happens to kitchen drains? They almost always get like this. They get all this nasty gunk in them. Come on, give me a witness. Have you ever cleaned out a kitchen drain? You run the snake down through there? It's gross. All this garbage comes back out with it. And what it is, that's the kind of junk that it's talking about right here. You see, we're a pipeline for God. As we're filled and it can flow, He can flow through us like freely. He's going to do big things. But if we got all this junk in there and it's clogging up the pipe, it ain't going to happen. So let's get rid of the bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Let it be put away from us with all malice. When you clean out your kitchen drain, do you leave a little bit of it in there just for good measure? No, man, you're so grossed out by that stuff, you want all of it gone, right? And after you get done cleaning it, you'll go ahead and put some drain cleaner down. You just want to get rid of all of it. That's the way we need to be in our lives, guys. Let's denounce sin right here, right now. Let's call it what it is. Unforgiveness is sin. Bitterness is sin. Okay? Wrath is sin. Anger is sin. Clamor is sin. What's clamor? Just foolish talk. You know, I compare it to whenever all of the kids and grandkids come over to the house, if we got out all the pots and pans and handed them to them, you'd have clamor all over the place. Amen? You wouldn't be able to hear a word being spoken. There would be no sense made of it, which that wouldn't necessarily be sin. But if that's what we're doing in our life, it is. Let our speech be with good purpose, okay? Don't be just making noise in this world. Let's be making noise for Jesus, that it be understood, amen? Here's another one, guys. That's my 4 points for the day. So we got to, what were they again? Somebody want to say them? First point was? Got to decide we want it. What's the second point? Ask. What's the third point? Those steps of obedience. And the fourth point, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? And here's just an overarching truth. If the Spirit is in us, we will produce fruit. Do I get an amen to that? Guys, this isn't a maybe, could be, possibly, or whatever. If we look at Matthew chapter 13, I just want you to turn there in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to spend just a minute in this. Matthew chapter 13. He tells this parable. It's a good parable. Everything Jesus taught was perfect. Amen? Let's look at this parable for a little bit here. We're going to read it from the beginning, verse 3. Matthew 13:3. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. That's verse 7. But others fell on good ground. Everybody on verse 8 right now? Because this is the good part. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear this morning, Cadet Baptist Church? I pray you do. We're going to jump on to verse 18 and we're going to get the explanation of all this. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. He who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some. Say it with me, 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the word of the Lord. Not any ifs, ands, or buts about it. When the seed falls on good soil and springs up, that's the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And as we receive the Holy Spirit in this good soil, it continues. He continues to grow in us. And this tells me that we will most definitely be producing spiritual fruit of some sort. Now, to him that's been given more, you know, we may see a greater harvest in their lives. To some, it's been given in different measure. You may not necessarily physically see such a huge harvest, but there's going to be some harvest. And I believe God's Word is telling us, guys, it ain't ever the seed that's bad. The seed is always good. It's the soil that it falls on, and that is representative of our hearts. So that's why the name of the message was Cultivating a Spirit-Filled Life. Because I think all of our life is about cultivating our hearts so that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will dig in deep roots and continue to bear fruit. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm a competitive guy. I really want to get the most. I want 100-fold. Amen? Like if you plant one wheat seed, do you ever count how many little seeds wind up growing on that one plant? Isn't that cool? Have you ever looked at it? Like one can have all of these grains of wheat growing on it. That's the way the kingdom of God's supposed to be like. Guys, you're all part of his harvest. So he plants that seed in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Whenever you cultivate that soil, you allow him to cultivate it through the word. The roots keep going deeper and it just keeps growing more fruit. Amen? And I want to see y'all have 100-fold too. If we just get 30, I'll praise the Lord too. But I'm striving for the greatest. Let's strive together for the greatest. One last thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. This is something we always got to keep in our mind too. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do I get an amen? So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's all about God. Amen? So as it's all about him, and we're all in this for the same reason, to see him glorified, and we let him cultivate our hearts, and we ask, we believe, we want it, God will grow. And he's going to reach our neighbors, and he's going to grow the church, not just the people sitting in the pews either, amen? He's going to grow the workers under the harvest, and we're going to see an even greater harvesting. I believe it could be nationwide or worldwide. God is bringing revival. The question is, do you want it? I want it. Let's ask God. Dear Father, please get our hearts in a place where we are regularly coming to you to be cultivated. We are regularly coming to you and asking for a greater filling. And Lord, that filling, what we see in the Scripture is, it always brings about a greater boldness to preach the Word. And Lord, as we open this altar up for people to come, Lord, and just bring their requests, it's just representative of coming before the throne of God. We know this isn't the throne of God, but this is representative of it, that we would go forward as you tell us to, in obedience, and just ask you to fill the need in our heart. Lord, whatever it may be, for one, it may be a need for healing, Lord, so that they can be well enough to serve you. For another, it may be spiritual healing for a brokenness that's inside of us that we just can't seem to overcome. But Lord, what we know is there's victory in Jesus. Victory over our sin, victory over that condemnation. I love Romans 8, 1. For there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, or walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Lord, help us to walk according to your Holy Spirit today. Help us just be obedient. First step of obedience is turn our life over to you for salvation. If we're feeling convicted over our sin today and wondering, is there any way I can be saved? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He's the only one by which we can come to the Father. So Lord, let us come today through Jesus. If we've received you unto salvation, then it is here at the taking for us to produce fruit. But we've got to come and decide that we want to be filled so that can happen. So Lord, please bless us to be filled and fruitful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Stay and eat with us. And also, don't forget about the banquet in November the 2nd for the Bates Creek Camp Legacy Fund, and just helping to raise a little more money just to help operate the budget of the camp and make new improvements and things of that nature. And the camp's doing well, and so I want to praise God for that. So we want to kind of step in and help it keep doing well. And you'll be pleased with what you see if you ain't been out there in the last year or so. And so either let me or Sister Sharon know if you want to be a part of one of our tables. And so we're looking forward to that. And I guess now we want to see if there's any
birthdays.
Birthdays. Look at this.
Birthdays, all kinds of them.